Show 171, Columbia 2 recap. Holy smoke and daddy-o, is there some good racing this weekend. Some explosions that we're going to get to, a few of them. But racing, we're doing this Monday after Columbia 2 World Cups. The racing on Sunday, I mean, both days, but especially Sunday, really delivered.
It absolutely delivered. And I don't know if it was because it was the last one of four, if people were tired, people were just letting it on the line because it was the last one of the year, T, but dude, it felt like there were fireworks all around the day.
Yeah, it really did. Show brought to you by our presenting sponsor of the show, ProGate Europe. Winning starts with a great gate. Jarre Stoudet, 2 for 2 this weekend, making my prediction come true. I stuck with my guy from 2 weeks ago and he fucking delivered. So great job, Joris. ProGate Europe.
Get yours today. How about the fact that he just went from like, we kept saying like, you've got to pick Joris for a win. He doesn't win one of the first two. And both of them, it looked like he probably could have and should have. And then he just steps up the last weekend and just doubles down.
Yeah, he was a stud, and we'll get into his performances, but yeah, outstanding performances from Joris. Before we get into the show, just wanted to say too, I know there's a lot of BMXers on the East Coast in Florida and Georgia and the Carolinas that were affected by Hurricane Ian. So we're thinking of you. You know, obviously some areas got devastated, and I hope everyone's okay in BMX community.
Scary. Dude, we were just talking about that a little bit. It's some of the pictures that are coming out of some of the towns and cities that have just been kind of demolished is heartbreaking. Like, it's hard to see. I was talking to the boss man, John Sawyer, and he was just kind of showing me some of the spots that he used to go to and what they look like now. And it's like, it's hard to believe it can go from looking like one thing to the next. So hopefully people are safe. People are dry. And I don't know how the process works to get all that stuff back up and, you know, turned around.
Oh my God. I know. I was thinking that too. Like, I saw this one house in Naples and they were filming like on their staircase and then water was just pouring like through the walls inside of their house. It's just, I couldn't believe what I was watching.
Dude, it's crazy, isn't it? It's heartbreaking. Like, what is a family like that? What do you do? Like, obviously you have to have insurance, I'm sure. But like, everyone knows insurance stuff like that doesn't take, isn't just like a next day fix. Like, this is years down the road probably.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, thinking of all our friends, especially in Florida, I hope everyone's okay.
Should we touch on some of just the big ass topics of right off the bat?
Yeah, let's, I don't even know. So let's start with Lauren and Matilda the first time. I mean, that is the most, so you know, that's the most insane picture I've ever seen. You know what one was insane? When like me and Kai and a bunch of people and Diego exploded in Zolder all over the first jump. Yeah. That one was gnarly. But the fact that this one, obviously everyone's seen the photo on social media, as they say, of Mathilde with her arm around the floor. It's just fucking unbelievable what we saw.
Dude, does it get any more BMX than that? Like, we talk about, I know BMX, we're not talking about crashes all the time,
sport,
but like,
just a very normal sport.
Normal sport, two ladies ripping down a hill at, I don't know what, 20 miles an hour, 25 miles an hour, maybe more, just in the air. 40? Am I way off? 60
miles an hour.
Oh, yeah. There you go. And they're just midair, hands off, one hand on the bar, one hand off, just about to just eat shit. Just what a photo.
Yo, cuz.
Oh, my gosh. And in fact, the whole arm pulling, like the grabbing on thing, we got to get to that because that is just
we got to get to that. That's at the top of the show right here. So obviously I didn't see it because it's an earlier round, they don't broadcast it, so I have no idea where the video is, but yeah do tell, because you have inside info.
So I did get some intel. I haven't talked to Lauren about it. I just saw the photo too, but I did see Mathilde yesterday, and this was like post Lauren posting it, so she was already getting a little heat, I think, online from everybody, and rightfully so. I mean, it's social media, it's online, everybody has an opinion to share. I think from what I heard from her and what I'm seeing, the one photo makes it look way worse on her than it probably was. And I say that because I saw the photo of the sequence, like the photo right before this shot, and it doesn't, it's not like Matilda's jumping off her bike going to hold on to Lauren.
No,
they get caught in an awkward spot. I think Lauren was on the inside, had a good start, was kind of pinching Matilda off. Matilda probably ran it in there, And I think coming up the lip, they probably just got too tight, like the guys in the main. And just instinct, when she started falling that way, her arm went out. And I think somehow, I don't know how the instinct works, but probably just hit Lauren and it just bent it in and almost looks like a grabbing motion. But there's no chance that someone like her, any rider for that matter, would jump off their bike to purposely hold on to somebody's arm.
No, my initial reaction when I saw this was, she probably, like, obviously without thinking of it and just a natural response, knew she was in the air about to eat shit and just grabbed onto something, and she probably didn't even consciously do it.
Yeah, it's right. That's exactly it, I think. Yeah, there's no thinking ahead in this thing. There's no like midair being like, okay, I'm gonna grab onto her just because. It's like, no, shit's happening fast. You're just eating shit. Your arm goes out, and then Lauren's arm is just in your grill, basically. So you're like, what else do I do, kind of thing.
This is just a wild photo. And of course, if I was Lauren, I'd be pissed too. But I don't think, I can't speak for Mathilde, but I'm sure it wasn't done maliciously. I'm sure it wasn't, it wasn't an on purpose thing. I don't think.
I feel like Lauren probably doesn't even think it was malicious at the end of the day. I mean, Lauren's a racer. She always has been. She knows that you get put in shitty BMX positions sometimes. I think she's probably feels a little upset or a little annoyed, a little confused of like, how does somebody's arm get around your arm and feel like they're holding on to, because it's not like the arm around Lauren is not what made Lauren crash clearly either. That's just like that's like a little aftermath of it. But if I saw this picture and I was Lauren too, I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing, buddy? I would do the same thing, right?
I'd be fucking pissed.
Yeah, it's like you're talking about your explosion. With Kai and who else was in that German rider, I think.
Yeah,
and I can't remember where the
hands go. There's like a bunch of people.
Yeah, but it's like you guys hit, and it's like your hands and body and limbs go everywhere. So it's like every once in a while, something like, yes, whole yards go. Like shit happens. So I don't know where we leave it at this, because it's like, it's still just looking at the photo. It's just like, holy shit.
It's a laugh out loud funny photo. The fact that they're both fine it's just a hilarious photo. It really is.
Dude, how does two people walk away from this like somewhat unscathed?
And Lauren came back the next day and made the main too, which was fantastic. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know where we leave it either. I haven't seen the video, so I don't know for sure what happened. So I don't know.
It'd be nice to see the video just because, but I think that is just, it is what it is. Like, people are going to have their own judgments, but I think everyone can realize.
Please, girls. She said something like, please, girls, this is not okay. Don't grab me.
Please do not grab it onto me going up the takeoff of the first jump.
Oh my God. So did she grab onto her up the takeoff?
Once again, I don't have the video to see. Okay, I don't so believe she grabbed, so.
I was going to say, if she grabbed her up the lip, then we got a big problem. I assumed it was in the air after they already were crashing. But if it's up the lip, then I think we got a big issue.
Oh, 100%. We got a big issue, but was up the lip. Like, I don't think that's a possibility that it could have been up the lip. And I also think from that other photo I saw, I think it was like a midair instinct. It wasn't up the lip.
You know what made me think the scene? Have you watched the other guys?
Yes.
The opening scene when they're like, aim for the hedges.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I'm gonna think of.
Dude, that moment's so fucking funny.
Oh my God. That was, man, if someone has a video, like, please send it to us on Instagram. I really want to see it.
Yeah. Dude, what a trooper by Lauren too. That was the first round on Saturday. She had to go to the LCQ after that massive crash. By the sounds of her post and when I talked to her about it, she didn't realize how sore and how kind of shaken up she was from that crash. And then kind of got caught off guard after she hit the lip of the first jump, had another spill, pretty gnarly crash too, and once again rolled away from it and was able to walk away. And I talked to her the morning of Sunday. She didn't really know if she was feeling racing. I even said, just as a friend, I was like, I can't imagine you, those two gnarly crashes and you still getting up and like competing today. So if you do, like, that's a win on itself. And then she goes to make the main that day too. That was damn impressive.
Yeah, Lauren rode really well, especially after fucking dying.
Yeah, so crazy.
Oh, man, that was something. That was something. Yeah. Next headline, I think Sylvain and Laura, World Cup champions. 27 wins for Laura. First of all, she's going to get to. So I was thinking yesterday, what's the over under? If you were to bet, what's the over under on, like, say 33?
That's the number. When you started saying over under on Laura, I was thinking Laura wins. I was going to put it 33. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's, if you got $10,000, or no, say we got to bet all our money on one or the other, what are we doing?
A 33?
33.
Give me 32.5 and I take the over. So if the betting line 32.5, I take the over. What do you think?
I think she gets 33 or more.
Yep.
Wow.
My theory is I think next year she probably gets to 30. I think after that she probably gets two or three more the next year or two. Yeah.
I guess we don't know if she gets 8 or 10 cracks next year. We don't know if there's 4 or 5 weekends next year yet.
We don't know yet, no.
Say probably five. Five weekends probably.
We'll bank on that. Let's bank on that. So let's say she got 10 shots. So
10 shots plus the year after. So say the next 2 years realistically are her best chances.
All she has to do is bank. Well, she has 30% next year, which very doable for her.
All she's got to do is win 3 next year and 3 the year after.
Isn't it crazy to say that all she has to do is that? Like, that's just insane to say that. But for her, it's fact. It's like all she has to do is that.
I say for sure she gets to 30. 33.
That's going to be tough.
Mm-hmm. That is tough.
I mean, she won 4 this year.
I mean, what are we doing here? We're talking about the fact she's going to get 30 World Cup wins. What the fuck are we talking about here?
Dude, I don't fucking understand. Real?
30 World Cup wins?
It's unbelievable.
What are we even talking about here?
It's like those are joking numbers. Those are stats that you just like joke around with somebody. Like it doesn't seem honestly, real at all.
You'd probably have to consider her one of the
One of the GOATs.
Other sports, like all-time greats in any sport, really? 30 World Cup wins or 27 it's at crazy. This point, but she's going to get to 30. So
it's one of those stats that it's like it gets so high that it almost seems like not as cool because it's just like she does it so often and it's like it's so crazy. Like what's this? What's the mogul skier that has like our Canadian mogul skier freestyle? Oh my God,
Mikhail Kingsbury.
Yeah. He's got like what 10 overall World Cup wins, and it's like he's got so many. It's like, are they even trying behind him? Like, are they even trying to beat him?
He literally in Canada, it's news. Like, he just every time you see news from mogul skiing, he just wins another World Cup.
So it's like crazy. 50.
Yeah, I swear,
dude. It's once again, it's a joking number. That's what Laura is doing to these World Cups. It's just like it's unreal.
Yeah. She must be leading overall prize money for World Cups.
I think me and Romain were sitting in the bleachers Sunday watching racing, and we were kind of estimating how much she's made in just World Cup wins, and it's an astronomical number.
So it's like what, 2,500 per win, euros?
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that's.
It was in like the 60K range of just wins. Yes,
70K with just wins. Yeah.
And then think of how many like other podiums she's had.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, dude, it's nuts.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, congrats to her and Sylvain on that World Cup titles. Sylvain's second World Cup title, I believe.
I believe so. Yeah. Yeah. Laura's
2017.
Fifth.
Yeah, 2017 and 2022, and Laura's 15th. So, congrats to both of them. How many is actually?
What do you?
It's got to be Laura's fifth.
Laura.
Or something.
Yeah, Laura has five. She went six. Yeah. Let me just look it up again. I know she's got 5. I'm just trying to remember the years. So 16, 17, 18, 19, 22. She went 4 years in a row. And then, yeah.
Mm.
Nuts. Wow. So, yeah. What do you call the win? Do we call it, like I saw Laura post like World Cup overall. I saw Sylvain post World Cup champion. What would you call it?
World Cup champion, yeah.
Yeah, World Cup champion. Okay. I like that.
So USA's next champion, world champion, Olympic champion, World Cup champion.
Yeah, that works. I like that.
I feel like officially on results listed as like World Cup overall winner or whatever, mm-hmm. but you got a World Cup champion is like what you say.
Yeah, you win World Cups, and if you win the overall, you're the World Cup champion for the year.
Yeah. So, yeah, still really consistent. he deserved it overall. If you look at the year, he was just on the in the main on the podium what felt like every single time. And over the course of a season, if you just do that, even if you don't, well, I could think he got one win and George the only one who got two. So you can't even say he didn't win as much because he did, except one guy. Yeah. So he was certainly the best guy from start to finish, every track.
He really was. I mean, from the get-go this year, it looked like he had something extra in his toolkit, in his arsenal. Like, he was a faster starter. I felt like he was faster down the ramp than he was. And then with his, he continued to be good around the track. So every fucking time he was in the mix, like you said, there was never a race that you're like, oh, Sylvain's just not going to be in the mix. Like, he was always there. And I mean, Cam Wood didn't make it easy on him. Cam went to five World Cup mains in a row to finish off a season to actually get a little tighter, but Sylvain missed one main, I think. Was it? I'm trying to think now. This is one of those stats we might get wrong, but I'm not going to like harp over it. It's like,
where do you remember that he missed it?
He missed one day in Bogota. That's all.
Wasn't it it was the last weekend, wasn't it? Or was it this weekend?
It was the last weekend on Saturday. He missed the main. He got semi'd. He might have missed a day in Papendal, if I'm wrong. Sylvain, my bad. Doesn't matter, though. Like, the consistency for him to always be in there and almost always be battling for a podium or a win. I mean, it just – those things add up, like you say.
Yeah. So, really happy for him. At the ripe age of 30 years old, he's holding it down for the 92s.
Unreal.
That's funny. There's not as many of us 92s left anymore.
They're a slim breed these days, eh?
Yeah, I'm obviously gone. Tuan left. Connor's gone now. I mean, Corbin's still there. Sylvain, yeah.
Crazy. And then you got the young bucks that are just kind of trying to push their way in here. And Sylvain's like, nope, not today, young guys, not today.
Yeah, so, yeah. And like we talked about before, you can still, I think now with nutrition, training, all the knowledge we have, there's no reason you can't continue to be top into your early 30s, I don't think.
No. Like you said, I think so. I think Sylvain has still gotten faster off the start. Someone like Lauren, I think, has still gotten faster. So, yeah, they're still climbing. They're still building. They're still getting better. So, Sylvain, like, Joris, I think Joris has gotten faster this year, or at least for these last few World Cups. He was on another level this weekend. Holy
fuck, was he fast this weekend. Seriously, like, not even just down the hill. And he was getting the first jump better than everyone, too. Like, he seemed like he could suck it up really well. So, he made a big difference on the first jump over guys. And he also made a really big difference on the second jump on the second straight. He could jump it really low and still catch backside. And a lot of guys were over jumping or having to throw their back end out, but he was doing it really well. Man, he was flawless. Really was this weekend.
Dude, he was incredible, hey? Like, the fact that he handled the pressure, I think he rode lane one every time, basically. Like you said, his speed from like the bottom of the hill to over the lip of the first jump, because like a lot of the times he was next to Cam Wood. Cam Wood was he was flying off the start, especially to the kink and down the hill.
Dog.
Super snap dog. And then Joris would pull like half a bike from that bottom bit to the landing of the first jump. And it's just like, where does that come from? And you're right. Like, he was just getting that first jump so good every time consistently. And then that second straight, it looked like he was like extremely comfortable. He'd go ripping down after over the first one, looked like he'd be, you know, casual, set himself up for the second one, and then just hit it money every time, where dude, so many people were overshooting it pretty consistently. Like, it was hard to hit backside full speed.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just so nice to watch Joris. It just looks so like effortless. Like, he doesn't look like he's overstraining ever on the track. And dude, in the main, he hit a 31.9. Yeah, it was the main, I think. Was it the main or the semi?
Yeah.
Nobody was 31.9. It was the main. Yeah, it was like a 31.9 or something.
Yeah, dude, it's nuts.
I don't know if I haven't checked actually if someone else has gone below 32, but I don't remember seeing someone else. No.
No, yeah, nobody did. That was the only lap, and he was the only person to go under 32 there. Not even many people were hitting low 32s, and he was doing them, I would say, consistently when he was getting out front.
Yeah. You know, it's funny too, like in the quarter or semi, I can't remember which lap now off the top of my head, but he didn't even pedal to the finish line, really. He just kind of like did the last jump, maybe pedaled. He just kind of like lunged a little bit half-assed, and he still just kept getting fastest lap times. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I hope he does the full series next year. Cause I mean, he'll be up there giving them a run for the overall for sure.
Yeah. I think next year he probably will. Cause this year, I know he had a lot going on with his move and everything, but I feel like next year, I'm sure he probably will. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Kudos.
Yeah. Before I get into the next topic, I wanted to give a shout out to Mackenzie Gayhart, aka Skittles, going home this Colombian trip with two third places and 2 seconds in U23. We had to work a lot on her weaknesses earlier this year, and I was just really proud of her for going there and delivering her best and getting on the box all four weekends. So just want to say good job, Mackenzie. It was awesome.
Yeah, she did really well. Sure, her track speed, man, compared to the other girls.
So good. Dude, and what the one lane she came from, like sixth or seventh to third, it was unreal.
It was impressive, man. Like her track speed was on a different level. Like she'd be in the pack, getting balled up, and then the rhythm section would come. And it was just like, okay, I'll just pass like one or two people, no problem.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love it when my riders put in the work and effort and end up with awesome results. So I was happy to see.
How old is Mackenzie?
21, I think.
21, okay. She's probably going to stay U23 another year then, or do you think she can move up?
Yeah,
stay. Yeah, another year. Yeah. Going for the world title, I think.
Be cool.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah. Leo, and speaking of U23, on the men's side, Leo Garayal, World Cup champion. Like I said, he didn't make the main yesterday. But other than that, I think you could tell he seemed like physically more mature, and also just the way he handled himself and his racing. I feel like he was better than the class. Like obviously Rico is a top rider and killed it. But I think Leo, just like the way he carried himself, he's very much ready to turn elite.
Dude, totally. I mean, the guy's clearly elite speed. He's won a Euro, elite Euro round. So, you know, he's fast, obviously. But, and then he just brought that into the U23 every time. Like there were a few days where it looked like he maybe got like a bad quarterfinal or a bad semi, had a mid to outside gate pick. And he still horsed it after the next lap and then got back to the inside or won the race from that mid to outside lane. So the guy was on it. There was no stopping him, it felt like. And to miss just the one main there, the final one, I mean, kid, the guy earned the overall for sure.
He did. And New Zealand's got an absolute fucking stud, Rico Bierman. Man, that kid's good. Good starter, good skills around the track. Seems like he has a good good mental approach and focus getting to the gate two when he knows he can win. Like he's a great rider.
He never looks like he's too like serious or stressed. Like the times they show him in the gate, it always just looks casual, have fun, but like not worried confident about it. He's about to do. Yeah, very confident. Yeah. So
yeah. And he's still fairly young too, so he can still keep racing U23, obviously. That kid could be a star.
I'm really curious to know if like people like him, Asuma, if they stay U23, because I think Garayal has to move up. Same with Romain's twin, the other French guy.
Gobert.
Yeah, Dylan Gobert. I think he has to move up too. And I don't know. I think Rico's a little younger. I don't know for sure. I think he's a year younger, so he can probably stay up. Same with maybe Asuma. Well,
Rico is junior in pop, so he's young.
Okay, yeah. So he's got another year, I think, in U23 if he wants. I wouldn't be surprised if he moves up.
Well, he was junior last year in Papendal when he won and slid out, wasn't he? So,
okay, yeah. So he'd be 20 this year, 21 this year? 20 this year. 17, 18, 19. Oh, yeah. So he's got,
So he's super young.
Yeah. So he's got time. His speed, man. I wouldn't be surprised if he moved up still, which I think seems a little ridiculous. But just with the Olympics coming around, you get more points in elite. I wonder if it's worth moving up for him or not.
I think, I think it'd be more beneficial for him to stay in U23 for now.
I think you still get pretty good. Yeah.
I mean, if you're winning or podiuming in U23, that's still a lot of points, even though it's less than elite for Olympic points.
No, you're right. It is a lot of points still. I mean, yeah, you're also making a good amount of change if you just race in U23 as well. So the double combo, you're getting the points, making money. Why would you not stay?
Yeah. If I was him, I think it'd be better to stay U23, but it'll be interesting to see what he decides to do.
Yeah. They had a good class to watch this weekend, just to put that out there. Yeah, they had a good class. I mean, it was fun watching Suma, Rico, the French guys. I mean, there's so many different ones. You had obviously Leo, then you had Tatiana, and then a few of the other guys too. And then like the Chile guy Molina, he was fast. Like, dude, it was just like a free-for-all, felt like a lot of the times.
Up at next headline, we'll talk about another blast. Let's talk about Ross and Booty in the first turn yesterday in the semi. Oh my god. Okay, first of all, you see Ross's gate in first straight came out like a fucking missile from eight.
Dude, he was. I think him and George were pretty even on that first jump. It was fucking impressive.
I rewatched it today. Oh man, he came out fast.
It was insane, wasn't he? Got fucking out.
Oh my god, did he ever? Oh, and I don't think I've ever seen, like, you know, usually when people get sent over current turn, they kind of ride over it or just kind of slide down it. Those dudes like ejected to the flat.
It was nuts, wasn't it? Like, I'm watching the replay right now. Dude, they just fucking go for a fucking ride.
I think obviously it was accidental. Like, I think Booty got kind of caught on his hip, then got caught off balance, lost control, and then just couldn't like turn and just, they just rode off the corner.
Yeah, you can tell when he goes the inside and Ross like kind of dropped his shoulder on the outside, like Booty ran into his hip and then completely just, like you said, hip goes to the outside of the bike, gets locked on the outside, and he just, it's like Booty's pushing him accidentally completely the entire time off the turn. It's like, it's such a tough spot, and Ross probably is pissed because, I mean, you're just fucking ripping around the outside and some guy just comes inside and just rides you right off the turn like that. Oh my God. Yeah,
and they both should have made it. They're in second and third.
Yeah.
You know those James Bond movies where like James is wrestling with someone in a car in a high speed chase and they're like beating the shit out of each other in the car, and then like all of a sudden they're heading towards a cliff and they can't control the wheel and they just fucking send it off a cliff. That's basically
It's 100% what happened, dude. Dude, they fucking, you want to know what's gnarly about it too?
One of them almost hit the tower, right?
Dude, they did hit the tower.
Oh, okay.
Like, they launch so far, like, they don't land and, like, roll down the grass bank. They land and come to basically an almost complete stop because, like, I'm watching the video. Like, they launch to the base of the big TV screen at the bottom, and they basically just fucking slam right into it. Oh, my God. It's gnarly, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. Holy. I mean, they're lucky they didn't, like, break their leg or something.
100%. Like, I know Cedric walked away. I think Ross walked away as well, but he might have hurt his shoulder. I don't know for sure. That was a wild one. Holy smokes. Yeah. Dude, that was a different one. I was going to say the semis on day two were just like chaotic as hell.
Yeah, they really were. If we look over the other semi, Carlos's comeback was just the most Carlos thing ever, and I love it.
Unbelievable. The kid, it looked like he came out of absolute nowhere, was a mile back going into that last turn, and somehow still makes a move stick. Like, what?
You know, it's funny. I was watching it. So I saw them come out of the first corner because the camera panned back and you could see all of them. And I was like, it's pretty far back. And I was thinking, well, it's not over yet. He comes out of the second corner and he's closer. I was like, he's going to get him. He's going to get him. Yeah. And then the camera on the second half, like right before the corner, it like kind of like moves to the finish line. So you see the guys go through the last corner. And then sure enough, you just see Carlos ride out of it.
Yeah. Dude, the line he took was incredible. Like, just seeing how low he went. I mean, people weren't going extremely low in the last turn. It's not super banked. He must be paying somebody to get some extra grip there. Like, it's insane.
Jeremy just got Carlos in a big way.
Dude, he seriously did. Hey, like, he was just a sitting duck, it felt like.
You know, it's kind of funny. This basically became a five-man. You know, we have five-man quarters, or you guys have five-man quarters in like USA BMX and whatever some UCI races. Basically became a five-man quarter.
Dude, it seriously did, though, didn't it? Yeah. And the funny thing was, it wasn't like it started off with like those four guys at front, like Wood, Isaac, who else was it? Sylvan and Jeremy. They looked like they were like clear ahead of Carlos, too, like you said. Mm-hmm. And then it was just like the fifth man, Carlos, just started hunting. Like, just doing full hunt mode.
Yeah, it's not like you passed someone slow. You passed Jeremy, who's a World Cup winner. So, I
mean, yeah.
That was, what a comeback that was.
Racing was delivering, dude. Absolutely delivering.
Insane. Next on the list, let's talk about Mariana's win at home. Wow, talk about a true champion. Like, clearly, she hadn't done as well. She won the three World Cups before, in terms like the ones in Bogota, I mean. Mm-hmm. And for her to do that on the last day, like in lane one with Laura there and everything, and just, she didn't just win, like she fucking dominated that lap, wasn't even close. For her to win at home, man, what a feeling that would be, honestly, to be her in Colombia. And it's different too, like if you win the first day or the second day, like winning the second day, you just have that feeling you don't have to reset for the next day, nothing, you can just bask in it. Yeah
and especially, you should talk about the second one, but being the second weekend too, it seemed like the whole time she just got better and better as the weekends went on and the races went on. Cause like, I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know what her mindset is, but it seemed like she just got more and more hungry as like the races went on. And then that main event, like the last day, even her semi, she killed it. And then the main event is just like, something was different. I don't know why. It just like, when they called her name in the gate, and I guess maybe from the semi too, it just felt like there was a little more hunger. I don't know what it was, more speed, but she just fucking dropped one on them down the first straight and then just took off around the track. Like, just, it would look like it. Sometimes when you see like those first few days of Mariana, like in the pack mixing up, you're like, okay, it's like, she's not getting old. She's not past her peak or her prime or anything like that. But she's just like, it's not like the old Mariana where she could seem like she could win effortlessly. But then this one, she just flipped a switch, it seemed like, and it was just like old classic, I'm going to just beat you, no problem, Mariana.
You know, it's kind of interesting. I was just thinking, two of the four World Cup winners, or the three World Cup winners, Joris, Laura, and Mariana, this past weekend, the average age was around 30. So Laura was the youngest, 29, Joris and Mariana both 31. Like, that's impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is impressive. Yeah. But, you don't need to be a young buck to be winning these things.
This looked like Mariana, I don't want to say of old, but like when she was younger and just wax World Cups, she was that Mariana.
Dude, the crowd fucking erupted too. Like, first off, when they call her name in the gate, you could hear, yeah. when they call her name in the gate, the place went bonkers. As soon as she gets the whole shot, you can't even like hear anything because the crowd is going so nuts on the stands. And then obviously once you cross the line, it goes even louder somehow. It's crazy. She's going to get the key to the country, I think, soon.
She's president now.
Officially. We've just declared it for everyone out there.
I kind of thought she was going to retire, but who knows? Now she's probably going to go to the next Olympics. So who knows?
You got to think she is at this point. I think we had this thought before. Like, there seemed like a few of the older riders who you thought would have, but with this short break, they all just, I think they're enjoying themselves. They're still winning, clearly. So it's like, why would you retire yet?
Yeah. And if you're healthy and you're doing well and you're making a living and you're enjoying it, why stop? I guess. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So that was incredible. We also need to talk about Kai. As Max had said, Gandalf's younger brother, which was a laugh out loud funny comment.
Dude, Max had some good one-liners this weekend over the announcement thing. That was a classic. Gandalf's, what do you call him? Gandalf's younger brother.
Yeah.
Where's my thingy? Where's my notes here? Gandalf's younger brother is the wizard, Kai White.
What he did in the main to get second this weekend, it was fucking incredible through the second half of the track.
Dude, that first day, when he passed two guys down, like he passed Isaac and Alfredo down the third straight.
It was crazy. Like, I don't even know what to say because Isaac has really good track speed and is known for it. And Kai fucking blew past him like he was standing still. He made him look slow, which is crazy to think because Isaac's fast.
Yeah, dude is nuts. The amount of space he gained in that short amount of time. And like, obviously he was doing a different line. He was doing the opposite line, let's say, into the third straight there. But it's like the other line was still fast on its own. So it wasn't like it was just because he was doing a different line. Like he was clearly had some speed out of the turn that was working for him. And then he's silky around the track. He's always smooth. It doesn't look like he ever makes a major mistake. And if he does, it's like he somehow keeps his speed through it.
His gates and first straights are fast too. Like he hole shotted some rounds from wherever he was picking, like in the middle somewhere. And he was beating fast guys to the halfway down the ramp. He's got the full package.
I'm honestly surprised he didn't win one of the World Cups because he has been that fast down the first straight along with his track speed. I thought he was going to win one.
Yeah, I know. So, it won't be long before he starts winning a couple, I think.
No, I don't think it won't be at all.
I was going to say, shout out to Alfie getting back on the box. I know it was a big result for him and he deserved it.
Dude, he's a beast down the first straight. He's a big boy to be like, yeah, get himself going like that. I thought he had a major injury this year. Like, I think he separated his shoulder or dislocated his shoulder earlier this year. And I thought he was taking a lot of time off and didn't know what he was going to look like the second half of the year here. But, man, he's been quick, really quick. Like, he's just normal Alfie again. Like, his first straights are phenomenal. If he's on, he's on.
In the main on Saturday too, from the middle of the ramp, he just popped one off too. Like he's Mr. Reliable. He gets out every time.
It is nuts. And he does it his unique way. Like, I mean, kind of his gait form. It looks like he's wrestling the bike at the start, but it's so quick after.
Just one of the nicest guys in the circuit too. You just love seeing him do well.
Yeah, no, it's so true. Hey, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say when we brought up Kai's nickname, the Wizard, I like that Max was also calling Joris Iceman.
Iceman, I like it.
I heard Iceman. I was like, that was a pretty good nickname for him. The guy is just, doesn't matter. He's just cold killer.
So the world champs had a tough week. Well, Felicia yesterday, or Felicia this weekend, and Simon's week. The world champs had tough weeks.
They did. I mean, I think Simon made a couple posts about it. He was just struggling, I think, and trying to work through it and battle. I think Felicia came down here at the last minute, wasn't planning on it, and then just had to kind of hop into the mix with the girls that already raced the weekend before. So it had to have been a little tough, but I mean, those rainbow stripes are heavy.
I think in Felicia's case, I think it's tough to try and do what she did, to come in when everyone has their World Cup legs underneath them and already raced the first weekend, and you know, top women had great results, so they have a ton of confidence, and it's hard to come into that, I think.
Yes, it's got to be, especially when I think Felicia's eyes and her focus has been on the USA series pretty specifically. Yeah. Like she wasn't worried about the World Cups, I don't think. So I always find I've never been at the level of theirs, obviously, but like going to a race last minute when you're like, okay, fuck it, I'll just go race, it's not always a good option. Like,
yeah,
somehow your mind, although you're telling yourself your mind's into it, it's like somehow there's a difference. I don't know what it is, but the people that are there, like already preparing for it and knew they were going for it, just have a little bit more of an edge sometimes, I feel like. I don't know if that's true, but.
And I don't know how last minute the decision was. By the sounds of it, it was fairly last minute. I'm not sure. But
yeah,
it's also like if you haven't gone through your full, you know, training up to the race, tapered for it and everything, you might not have quite your best stuff compared to everyone else who's been building and tapering for the race. And obviously they're peaking for it. And everyone else goes into the second weekend too, having already done the weekend and feeling really dialed and comfortable. And then you just break the ice with your first round. It's your first lap on the track and you have to, you know, try and get in the mix quickly. It's not easy. And Sara obviously shouldn't make the main the first day. And I'm not surprised in a sense, even though she's the world champ, just because that's a really difficult thing to do, like we said.
True. And it's not like she was obviously slow by any means. It's just.
No, not at all. Yeah.
Yeah. Just not a step off from what you expect from somebody at Felicia's level. And I mean, she kind of got not boned, but she kind of got a little screwed with her and Elise were battling down the third straight. The second straight in the first day.
Yeah.
And Elise kind of did an awful line and like, I think messed up Felicia a bit and let somebody else come in and pass her. So she kind of got screwed a little bit, but it was definitely like, it was like a 1% missing. I feel like Felicia compared to what we normally see, right? And compared to being like the world champion.
Yeah.
So
good job for Elise too. Good week. Got on the podium Saturday and obviously too sore to race on Sunday, but 3 out of 3 times on the podium. Great week for Al.
Once again, holding it down for the older riders. She doesn't look like she's lost a step at all.
No,
it does. Yeah. I will say it does feel like people have caught up to her more. Like there's obviously a lot more younger riders, a lot more riders with the speed to keep up and compete, but Elise hasn't lost a step. Like when it's time to perform, she performs.
It kind of made me sad not seeing Saya there. Like I know she's dealt with concussions the last 2 years and had some injuries and stuff she's trying to recover from, but she's such a broad talent in our sport. It made me sad knowing that she's not there and still trying to recover and everything. So I hope she gets back on the circuit soon too. I think she's a good draw for people to watch.
Yeah, she's a nice face to see around the track. She is, I think, a good person to have in our sport, a really good image. I'm sure she'll be back. She seems like a very, very mature for how old she is, in the sense that I think she understands that nowadays, like having some injuries with her head, that taking a little extra time is really beneficial for having a longer career and being successful in her career to come. So I have a feeling, I bet you there's people out there that would have been like, you know, come on, just get out there and race, get out there and ride. This is your job. This is what you do. But it's like, I think she's making a really smart choice. Taking a little extra time.
Yeah, completely agree.
On
the men's side of things, Juan Carlos Diaz got fourth yesterday. Probably a career best for him. I don't know if he's made World Cup mains in the past. he may have in Bogota last year. I'm not positive. I haven't looked it up, but man, good result for that dude. He's been around a long time.
He has been around a while. I didn't realize he was even still racing, to be honest, until we got here this weekend, this past couple weekends.
Fourth at a World Cup. Something. Dude, that's so good.
I will go to a limb here. I will bank some money. I will bet that this is easily his best result of his career.
Oh,
and to do it on home, to do it on home soil with nobody expecting it, and to just like do it in pretty extreme fashion, whereas like he was making moves in the quarter, making moves. Did he make some moves in the semi? I think like there was like the big pileup. He was finding his way around, get shuffled around.
Right.
Yeah, dude, it was pretty crazy. Like the fans were loving it too. Like Colombian fans were going wild for him every time.
Yeah, so. Great result. You got a thrill to do that at home. It's not uncommon either. Like when, even if it's not your home track, because he lives in Medellin, like if you race in your home country, you tip, like a lot of times you do your best just because there's so much, you feel so much energy and you're so pumped and your focus is just sharpened. It's not uncommon to see personal best results in your home country. I mean, look at the French are obviously the best country in the sport, but look at Eddie and French riders in France at the Worlds. Like they stepped up huge.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the amount of Colombian guys that were just on fire, it seemed like this weekend, there's a lot of fast guys these days. There's no question about that. But the fact that they were, it seemed like an extra level up even was, it's to do with the home track. They feel comfortable. They get energy from the crowd. Everything about it. Like I think people, all us foreigners, were starting to get a little tired of the 2 weeks in Colombia, not feeling comfortable, just wanting to go home to what we're comfortable with. I feel like they were probably just in their element. This is like what we do. This is how we do it. Like no big deal. So I know there's like 6, 7, 8 of them in like the men's class that were fucking ripping.
You see, there was so much. Have you seen many U23 Colombian women? There were two that were fast.
Dude is so nuts. I mean,
I know.
Yeah. I feel like the U23 women, I feel like sometimes you're going to see more riders from wherever we are because not a lot of them will travel as much. But even the ones that were like there, it's not like they were just doing well because they were there. No, like they were actually riding really well and really quick too.
Totally.
So
I thought of this today. Let's in these recaps, what do you say we pick? We could pick three monsters of the weekend for men and women that didn't win. So like three monsters in each class. Obviously, we're not going to pick the winners because they're obviously monsters, but three people that we think are monsters, that were weekend monsters.
All right, which class are we starting with? Women?
Sure, let's start with the women.
Okay, you go first because I need to think.
I'm going to say Zoe, easy pick, but she won a lot of laps, podium, definitely a monster. Say Meryl. Meryl rode really well as well, got on the box and overall was just always in the mix. I'm going to go with Peyton Ridenour too. Like she didn't get as good of results as the other two, but I felt like she rode really well and was really strong and I think really improved.
Good one. So I like those options. I like those answers. Who am I going to take? I think Meryl.
Maybe we should do it in the future. Draft. Maybe the guys will do draft style. That's why we have to pick different guys.
Okay. All right, so this one, I'll pick some of the same, but we'll alternate for the guys. We'll do a draft. For the girls, I like Meryl's pick there. I was just thinking of somebody. Who was I just thinking of? I think Lauren. I think she was flying this weekend. I mean, a couple of her races or semifinals were nuts, like really impressive. So that was cool. I need a photo here. I need to see the women to get my brain, my juices flowing a little bit here.
I mean, I guess Elise would be an easy monster too,
but if we're trying to pick ones that didn't win.
Yeah, but she didn't win. So.
Oh, I mean like the last one, she didn't win. Yeah, that's true. Okay. We'll just take Elise then I'm going to skate by the easy way here.
We could make it non-podium finishers. So it's more like almost dark horse picks.
I like that. I like that option better. I need to see the main event again.
Okay, so we're revamping the game. It's a work in progress.
That's what we do on the show. We actually talk through our games while we're on the show.
Non-podium finished monsters. Yeah, so the monsters of the weekend are people that didn't podium but were still monsters.
Okay, I got one.
So now we'll do men. We're doing draft style.
Okay, but I just want to take one for the women then. I'll take my real third one. Instead of taking the easy way, I'll take Manon Bistra.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah.
All right, for the men.
Lead us off, Palm Daddy.
Are you looking at results right now?
No, I'm looking at races though. Like I'm looking at 15 BMX and just checking the pages here. So I got to pick somebody who didn't podium that I think deserves it. I'm probably going to go with the guys that kind of made their first World Cup mains. Should I pick all my three right off the bat?
No, we'll do a draft style. So we'll go 1-1-1-1.
Okay. I'm going to take the other little Ramirez. Not Carlos Ramirez. What's the other? Juan Ramirez.
Juan Ramirez, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he made his first World Cup main. It was doing it in pretty good fashion.
I'm going to go with magician Carlos Ramirez. I don't think he's still coming back from injury, so I don't know if he quite had his best stuff, but man, making mains, making it work. He was a monster.
He was, yeah. That's true. Second pick for me, I'm going to go with somebody else who I think he made his first World Cup main in the first weekend, didn't have his best stuff. I don't think the second weekend, but I think he's been showing all year that he's been quick. I'll take Michael Bias.
Good pick. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Think, Tori. Diego Arboleda.
Okay.
Monster. Won a lot of laps in the mix. Killing it. He was a monster.
I will say one thing about that pick. I thought he was going to do better.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised he didn't podium at least.
Yeah. And like it's kind of bad to be like, you know, I don't think he did very well. He obviously killed it. But from winning the first World Cup of the year to just knowing how fast the guy is when he's on, I thought he was going to be a contender at least one of the days for the win. I'm sure he thought he was too. I mean, every once in a while you're going to have an off weekend, so it happens. But yeah, I thought he would have been.
Yep.
Okay, my last one. Let me see if I can find another race to find, you know, my other person. Here we go. We're looking at a race right now. I'm going to go with that was a pretty fucking silky move right there. Yeah, I'm going to go with a surprise pick. I think this will be a surprise pick for most people. For me, I'm going to go with Calixto. He was riding really quick in some of the rounds, made his first World Cup main again as well. I think, I think it was his first World. At least he made the main the first weekend. And he was speedy. So that's my pick.
Who was my third pick? I'm going to go with Mr. Ross Cullen. Didn't deliver results for himself like I think he was capable of, but I think it's only a matter of time, especially if you watch the semi from yesterday. Man, he was fast. It's coming.
It is coming, dude. Dude, he's got some speed, hey?
Yes, he does. He sure does.
Yeah. He starts putting those together. He's going to be, his style is nice. You want to talk about somebody who has a nice style? His second straight flow, a couple of the times I saw, I know there were practice clips maybe that I was watching, but man, he clearly gets some speed, some style, some smoothness from Kai. They rub off on each other.
We could pick three. I don't know what the underachievers for the weekend.
Ooh, that's tough.
That's I know it gets a bit mean, so maybe we won't.
We won't. That's what's tough about it is if we picked them, those people would also probably feel like they did, and we would just be, you know, it would actually be a compliment because no matter how they did, we'd be like, we think you're capable of more. But I feel like people could take that the wrong way.
Just salt on the wound.
Yeah. That would be tough.
I know I sucked.
Guys, I know I fucking underperformed. Okay. I get it. I don't need you rubbing it in.
All right, should we get into some quick shots?
First, we didn't really talk about it. We have to talk about this. I got to bring it up, and I've been saving it for the end to make sure the listeners stay on board for this. Sylvan's ass ball.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, he dropped ass in the first jump.
Dude, I think where's the clip? If we had the audio right now, where Robert Dwyer is like, you know, one ass cheek planted, the other one, it just spread my cheeks apart. Dude, Sylvan's butt, I think he fucking broke his ass when he hit that
thing. He broke his ass. Dude, down the second straight watching, was, I mean, Sedano were watching, I started laughing because I was like, this race is so spread out. Where the hell is everybody? It was like a one versus one race. And then like Cam was like 15 bike lengths back in third, like fine. And it was just like, what happened?
The race just, it fucking exploded. You had Cam and Isaac battling. Yeah, Isaac in second, I guess. Was it Isaac second? Cam third, just battling it out. Cam like blew a foot or blew a foot down the straightaway.
Oh, fucking. Yeah, we didn't talk about that either. Cam blowing a foot, getting it back on, and then just continuing on in third.
Pretty damn impressive, hey? Are you kidding me?
That was impressive, yeah.
Yeah. Dude, out of the last five World Cups, he made all the mains. That's what he said. Like, he made the last five World Cup finals, and then he, how many podiums? One, two. He
got a first, second, third, and I don't know what he got in the other one, because he hit the gate. He hit the gate in the other main he made, and then got whatever, not a podium. So I don't know.
But, dude, talk about some of the guys who finished consistent. Like, you won. That's crazy. Crazy. God bless you. But dude, yeah, Sylvan, Carlos, and Molina, who was in that too, in the crash. I haven't seen something that gnarly in a while.
Shout out to Gonzalo again, making another World Cup main, made the world's main, got fifth of the world's.
Fourth
of the world's, excuse me.
Yep.
And then got back in a main this weekend. So good job, Gonzalo. I mean, when he's on, he can battle with anyone down the first straight and make any main in the world.
Dude, his first straights are definitely his strength. Bad. And like when they're on too. I mean, I said that a lot about a lot of guys, I feel like, but it's just, it is a fact. It is what it is. Like when he's flying, he's flying. And he's a wrecking ball out there. Not a lot of people want to be around him because he's not so many fun to run into.
No. So. Yeah, it's fun. I think a lot of people don't know him because he's like kind of shy, and English is second language, so he doesn't speak it as well. Obviously, it's Spanish. But he's fucking hilarious, and he loves to party.
Really, hey.
he's a good dude. I really like him. We went to Colombia together in 2017, I think, after the Grands. Yeah, he's a really nice guy. Have you talked much to him or?
No, I haven't, because for that exact reason, it's not really first language. He's normally a little bit more quiet. We say hi now and again, but that's the most of our conversation, really.
Yeah, I'd really like to have him on Coffee Chatter. He's a cool guy. I think a lot of people would really like him.
Yeah, that's cool. We'll have to do that sometime. He'll be on the list. Yeah. Shout out. Unfortunately, Carlos broke his hand, I think, again, or fractured one of the bones in his hand, so he's going to be out.
I saw the ambulance ride. Fuck me.
It sucks to see. Like last day, dude was on it, But then the fact that Sylvan, I don't think, broke anything by the sounds of his posts and what I've heard from him, and that he's just sore as hell is shocking. He fucking launched off that jump, did not get feet down to brace him, just went straight ass and didn't break something.
Yeah.
What?
He didn't break his tailbone or something. That would probably
that's be what I was thinking.
It's so painful to break that, because how would you sit or lay down or do anything?
You couldn't do anything comfortably. You'd have to be lying on your stomach all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, where was it? Romain back in the day at that French Cup broke his ass when he unclipped and blew a clip off the lip of a tabletop into the turn and just ass bombed.
Did he actually break his ass?
I think he actually broke something. I think he actually broke his ass.
Oh, it's not funny, but it's funny because that's so painful.
It's like you don't want to laugh at it because, this feels bad to laugh. But the fact that when you just say ass bomb and you break your ass, it's just like, it's just a funny term, but it's just, it's gnarly.
When I ass bombed that one semi in Salt Lake years ago, and me and Sean were there for that, like 5 years ago or whatever, I couldn't do squats. I couldn't do squats for like 2 or 3 months. I ended up getting x-ray because I thought I might have broken something, but I just, if you hit your ass that hard on asphalt, like it's going to be fucked up.
It's gnarly. That was when you went over the turn with Sean, right?
Yeah, I think I ass bombed the turn and then fell over. I did something.
Okay, yeah. Okay, dude, it's nuts.
Yeah,
man. Jeez, Sylvan's got a big ass too. Thank God he's got a big ass. He probably saved him a bit. Yeah. Quick shots.
Some quick shots.
Yeah.
From Wyatt _ McKay, running goggles with no lenses. Why do we do this? This is a very good question, and I've always wondered the same thing. I think it's really stupid too, but I think some people do it just because if they don't want to wear lenses, they like how it like fits in their helmet, or they like how it like kind of holds their helmet still.
Yes. So I got distracted while you were saying my answer, but I think that's pretty much it. Like, it's a good feeling to have your helmet locked up a little more. Some people just don't like a lens in front of you. Like, some people, I think, feel like there's like,
I think at times Ross doesn't use lenses.
No, he's a big not lens user. Yeah.
I mean, I think I might've asked him before. I've asked someone, but yeah, I think it's dumb too, but whatever works.
I think for him, like riding in the indoor sometimes, I feel like sometimes unnatural light like that, you can see the lens more than you can in regular daylight.
Yeah, it glares. It does.
Yeah. So if you just take the lens out and then you still get the feeling of having your helmet sitting a little tighter on your head, I think some people like that. So I'm going to go with that. I've also done it at home now.
No.
I've had to do it at home when it gets really wet and it's just my goggles are wet and foggy. So I just take it out, but it's like, it's not my first choice.
I wouldn't be able to ride without goggles because I have for so long. And then like, if I tried, I would just be blinking the whole time because my eyes would be watering.
Dude, yeah.
You obviously don't feel it with goggles on.
Yeah, no, it's like, yeah. I'm a goggle guy, pro lens guy, very big pro lens.
They're huge pro lens guys on this show.
We talked about this, but I'll say it from Scott Wire. We talked about Skittles round six main. She did the Kai White in that final.
Honestly, yeah. Like that was that comeback of the weekend. That was fucking incredible from way far back.
Crazy, hey? That was impressive. Like, anybody that hasn't seen it, go check the YouTube and go watch it.
Yeah, seriously impressive. From Jason Hunter, is Palm Dog single asking for my sister?
Yes, I am.
My guy is very much single. I'm ready.
Very much single and mingling.
Yeah.
From 406 BMXMT, was Joris jumping in the main Sunday necessary?
Cross jumping
in the main Sunday necessary. What's the take on that? I saw video from Cam's like front angle. It looked like a big cross jump, but for two things, I didn't think much of it. One, because it looked like Joris got a little crooked off the lip. It wasn't uncommon on that lip to get a little crooked. And two, everyone was jumping out down that first straightaway to get a good line for the turn. So I think a double combo there. He was probably moving out a little bit and cross-jumped. I think Cam Wood put a video on his story. You can check the angle. Yeah, see if you can check the angle if it has it. It was like just the front angle. You can see Cam get chopped and have to like dodge his wheel.
Fucking good save.
It was a good save by Cam, hey?
Yeah, I mean, that definitely was a cross-jump.
Yeah. If we're talking about Joris doing cross jump, I mean, like the guy's one of the most straight, smooth riders out there. If that's the one thing we're talking about, where it looks like he kind of, to me, got a little crook and cross jumped. I mean,
he's a
pretty good guy.
In Joris's defense, it might not have been on purpose either. Like he might not have seen Cam in his peripherals and may have just moved out to make room for the corner. He felt like he was ahead. It's hard to say.
Yeah, dude. Like I'm telling you, one of my eights I had. Arboleda went from like 1 to 6 on that first jump, not like on the first jump, 1 in the gate to 6 on the landing of that jump. And it's like everyone was doing it and it was frustrating as hell. But it's like when you have the whole shot, I mean, yeah, what are you going to do?
From Thunder Midget, Cam Wood made a statement again this weekend. He sure did. US superstar. You know what? It's like I was telling someone else this. We haven't seen a superstar in the US, I think we were talking about it last week, in men since Connor and Corbin, really. And I mean, Cam is now that guy.
He stepped up.
Yeah.
It seemed like he was stepping up like last year Worlds, this year Papendal, and even this year Glasgow. But then this just solidified what everyone was thinking.
Yeah.
From Eddie Cannons, would you take Neek's first straights or Kai's third and fourth straight?
Neek's first straight.
Yeah, I was going to say Kai's third or fourth would be more fun, but Neek's first straight is going to win you more races.
Exactly, yeah.
So, yeah.
I got a good Netflix show right now. I'll end the show on Bloodline. Have you seen or heard of it?
Bloodline? No, I haven't.
Excellent. It's a slow burn, and it reminds me of Breaking Bad.
Okay.
Where like it's slow and then it just like little things happen to a point where it's just like all of a sudden it's just everyone's in so deep and everyone's fucked. You know what I mean? Those like shady, like drug, whatever shows where people die or whatever. Like it's kind of like that and it's really good.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. So that sounds pretty entertaining. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to get through the first like 75% of the season and then it heats up.
Okay. I might have to look into it. I'm doing school now. School officially starts today, T, but I might look into it.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's really good.
I'm going to just say it where not where it's whatever needed. I'm playing Guilty right now. I'm pretty fucking hungover. So for anyone that cares to know, we went to the after party. There was an after party after the race last night. Classic BMX after party, you know, just people raging, just getting letting loose. Too many guys just, you know, dancing around, but it is what we do. It is what it is. From the party, went back to the hotel at like 2 a.m., grabbed my bags, went straight to the airport with Molly because she had an earlier flight than me. So I had to go with her to the airport. Her check-in wasn't open for like an hour. So I slept on the floor in the airport for an hour while she waited for her to check in. Once she checked in, I went and checked myself in, got my bags checked in, found the lounge, went and slept for another hour in the lounge on the bench, just lying down, went to my flight and then tried to sleep for like the 4 or 5 hour flight to Houston here. Cause I'm in the airport right now. I'm hurting, baby. I'm just going to say it. I'm hurting.
Yeah. That's rough. I feel for you.
It's, you know, I'm getting old. I'm not, you know, a young buck anymore, but nobody on our team is holding it up for their party animals. So I got to keep doing it for our team. So.
Yeah. Like we talked about, I mean, staying out all night and flying internationally the next day is a young man's game.
It's not for us old folk anymore. I'm an old guy. No. I might not seem it, but I'm an old guy.
I don't think I could do that anymore. Like there's no way I could do that.
I don't think I can't imagine you doing it, especially because I mean, you're like a well-established, not old person, but like homebody now.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't do it. I would die. I wouldn't make it. I wouldn't make it.
Wouldn't work. Just wouldn't work.
No. So. Yeah. It's a young, I'm sure there's a lot of BMXers hurting right now on the way home.
It's true. So, I think you got to go there too.
Did you have much aguardiente?
People were giving it around, but I had some beers to start off the night, which isn't my go-to, but I didn't want to go from beers to then aguardiente. So I took a few shots of aguardiente because people were giving them out, but I probably had 3 or 4. That was it.
God, it's just so gross. I think beer is just gross. I hate it.
I don't really like any alcohol, to be honest with you.
If I'm going to drink something, I'd rather have a cocktail or like a
yes.
Old fashioned or something. I'm not going to. Yeah. Beer. I think beer is gross.
Give me a nice gin and juice on the rocks.
Yeah. A nice cocktail. Sign me up for a good cocktail.
Those are way better.
Yeah, I never liked beer.
You know what? Hey, this is a complete side topic too. You know, that's crazy. You know, these airports now that have these self checkout to get drinks and snacks from these little shops. There's nobody in there.
Really?
Yeah. Dude, I was in Tampa last weekend or whenever I left Tampa. I was there at midnight. There's this little shop I need to get a drink from. You literally I had to scan my credit card on the outside of this refrigerator and then it unlocked it. And then I just took my drink, but technically I could unlock it and take 5 drinks probably. Wow. Nobody's there manning it. And then they have other sections that aren't even with the door. Like you could just take the snacks off the shelf. Nobody's there. Obviously there's cameras, but you could totally just snag that for free. I'm surprised more things don't just get taken from those places.
That's a lot of trust.
As people. Yeah. I guess I was thinking about it though. If you think about it, the amount you have to pay for a worker to be there versus if they lost few products.
That's what I was just thinking. Yeah.
They're probably still making more money from it. So,
you know, which is sad though, because that takes away a job.
It's true. That's what it does. And that's what sucks.
Like I know every business is always looking to cut the bottom line, but it becomes a big problem when you start cutting people. Cause then what the heck is that person supposed to do?
Yeah. That's a job you're taking away. I would rather check out with somebody with a person and I'd feel better about my purchase. Not feeling like I'm a shady guy. You know, just taking a drink out of these things, you know?
Like it's like in Halloween when you go to that one house and just please take one and there's a bowl there. that's a good test on humanity to see what people do.
Dude, normally that bowl's gone within 10 minutes. There's no chance someone a little just kid opens sees candy.
And,
Yeah, opens the pillowcase and just dumps the whole thing.
They're like, cool, I'm done for the night. Let's go home, all.
That's a really good test of character.
Yeah. Oh, too funny.
Yeah. So we're on Oldsmar this week.
On to Oldsmar. US back on the USA Bank circuit. A few more races to go before the greatest race on earth. We won't get into it now, but we'll be doing a live show there.
Yeah, so we're probably going to plug this live show to make sure people remember. We don't know exactly when yet, but we will be doing a live show again at the Answer S-Squared Claiborne Rig.
Live in person, people. Not online, but live in person. I think there was a mistake last year. People thought the other, but you know, it doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Live in person. So we had an in-person show there.
We'll break it down later, though. It is what it is for now.
Yeah. But for now, snap on green.
Snap on green, everybody.
Rugged Europe.
Get yours today.